getting you on the show. And then I thought we'd speak to somebody who runs a company. Now, Lisa Hobley Walker is the co-founder of Always Forever Green, and she joins me on the show now. Hey, Lisa.
Hello. Hello, thanks for having me.
That's all right. I was just having a root around earlier on your Facebook group and looking at all your sustainable products and stuff. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time already.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time. You know, my whole career has been in environmental businesses, but my co-founders and I were three working mums, different professional backgrounds, and we came together a couple of years ago really at the school gates to say, you know, how can we make it easier for everyone to make a change? You know, how can we kind of take the confusion out of sustainability for everybody, really? So that's kind of what our mission is, really, just to make things a bit easier, clearer and simpler.
What I love about that is that's mum power right there at the school gate. I mean, honestly, I just think they could transfer COP26 to outside any school gate. You could get a group of mums on it and we would have been sorted this by now.
I think you might be right.
I know I'm right. I mean, you get a PTA involved as well and that would be it, job over. All those boys in Glasgow could go home because they'll have sorted it by the weekend. I just thought, because you're in the sustainability business, and, you know, there's just a myriad of products on your website and on your Facebook page, you know, about how to, like you say, to make things easier for the consumer, to make it, you know, to get sustainable products that are good and that, you know, are making a difference. Could you then, as you're in the business, give someone like me three kind of top tips of things that I could possibly do, like, you know, this week? And I don't just mean recycle my plastics. I mean, something else that I could do that, you know, will ease me into doing more.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't have to do everything all at once. I think it's important to say that because it can be a little bit overwhelming, not kind of knowing where to start. But if you think about your impact, one of the biggest impacts we actually have as individuals is probably what we eat, actually. Reducing meat and dairy is something we can do straight away. Especially red meat makes a really big difference. So if you swapped a burger for fish and chips, that would cut the impact by more than 80%. Or you could try to have, you know, a meat-free day once a week, which could be, you know, could be kind of having some health benefits too. So that's a one tip I would say, you know, thinking about what you're eating, and in particular red meat and all forms of dairy, you know, do have a really big impact. The other thing is, you know, cutting back on single-use products, then you won't have so much recycling to do, you know. So swapping these for reusable alternatives. It's not just water bottles and coffee cups, you know, baby wipes, women, we use loads of face wipes, sandwich bags, all of these things can be replaced by some really lovely reusable products. And whilst it might seem a bit more expensive at first, because you've got to invest in the reusable products, actually you'll start to see, you know, some savings over time because you can cut those items off your weekly shopping list. You know, it's more than a third of plastic doesn't even get recycled or disposed of properly, and it's made from fossil fuels. So the more we can cut down on that, you know, that's going to have a big impact. And, of course, there's lots of things we can do, you know, around the home, you know, to use less energy. You know, David Cameron famously told us all to wear jumpers, didn't he, rather than putting our heating up.
Yeah.
But I think that's an area where we do actually need some support from government, because it's difficult as individuals for us to drastically cut those kind of big emissions. We can do small things, you know, try and dry the clothes rather than use the tumble dryer. You know, all that sort of thing to be more energy efficient. But we also do need the government's help in some of these areas too.
No, I think these are all really good points. And most importantly, they're really doable, Lisa. They're like, that's not going to take me any effort. It's just a little bit more thought. You know, maybe people introducing, like you say, swap out, you know, your burger for fish and chips or whatever. You're not saying don't have a takeaway. You're just saying, actually, if you don't have the burger and you still get a takeaway, it's actually better for the environment. So it's easy stuff. These are easy fixes and easy swaps, I think. I really like the idea of, you know, lots of people are introducing into their family meat-free Mondays and things like that. I like that. And I really like the idea. I'm going to look into this weekend. the different kind of packaging that comes with the products that I buy. And I'm going to try and go for things that, for example, I was looking in my bathroom this morning and thinking, when I go and buy my toothpaste, I don't want it in a tube in a cardboard box. Why?
Exactly.
It's already in a tube.
Yeah, but I think it's also, it's really important to try and give this feedback. You know, we have a voice as individuals and consumers giving feedback to shops.
Yeah.
You know, around this packaging. Lots of them are actually taking packaging back. And I think that some of them are really starting to listen to what their customers are saying, that we don't need all this packaging. Do we really need fruit wrapped in plastic, all this stuff? And, you know, it's just, we don't need it.
No.
So I think they also need to hear from us. You know, they actually, we want it to be done a little bit differently. And like you say, being conscious, kind of actually looking at things is probably the number one best thing we can start to do.
Lisa, it's been lovely talking to you about this. Just before you go, COP26, are you hopeful for what's going on right now?
You know, I am quite hopeful. I've been to a number of these COPs over the years. I am hopeful. I'm hopeful because, you know, there's not just world leaders here. We've got lots of business leaders here. But we've got amazing athletes lending their voices to the whole debate. You know, lots of amazing people from all around the world, different sectors, not just world leaders. But what I would say is that, you know, the numbers need to add up. World leaders from the G20 and beyond say they're listening to scientists, that they're accepting, you know, what needs to be done. But when you add up all of their formal commitments, there's a big gap. You know, they're not actually committing. They're not really making the plan. So I am hopeful. There's been some good progress, some good announcements so far. What I really want to see coming out of this is like a clear roadmap that you and I know what we can expect over the next 3 years, not in 30 years, not in 50 years. You know, what does it mean for us now? And I really hope that that's what we're going to get out of this. So, yeah, I'm still optimistic. It's still early in the process. And like I said, I think the fact that we've got so many different people around the table, is really important too.
Lisa Hobley-Walker, co-founder of Always Forever Green. Thank you so much for your insight and your thoughts. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks very much.